We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The pitch to Aramis. There's a drive. Deep left center. Cubs win. They win it. Ramirez, two-run shot. Oh, baby. And deep drive. Way back. Ball game over. Cubs win. Cubs win. Oh, baby. Chris Bryant.
Here's a pitch.
Swing and a miss. Swing and a drive, deep right center. That ball carrying. Tie game! Tie game! Koske has done it! Oh, baby!
Hit and run Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Oh, man! Look at our guy, Sean Anderson, producing here on 670 The Score. Not only putting those Casper cuts together, but bring the music up there, Sean Anderson. I don't know if you did this intentionally or if you have any idea, but playing Matthew Sweet's girlfriend for Len Casper is a beautiful thing. We have been together on stage for this several times. Len plays the hell out of that song on the bass. Good morning, Len Casper. How are you?
Great, Matt. How are you today?
Oh, man, I'm good. The weather is taunting me, though. I mean, my goodness, the weight of the pessimism and the inactivity is tiring. And now the gorgeous weather, this is in some ways dangerous, isn't it? Because I feel like it's going to make us all as Americans be like, you know what? F this, everybody. I'm going outside. I'm going to go hug people. I'm going to do this. It's dangerous right now out there.
Yeah, and I think there are ways to get out and about, but also maintain your social distancing and, you know, wearing a mask obviously is important, especially if you go inside a place of business. But I'm with you. It really makes me miss baseball even more when you have nice days like we've had here this weekend. We would have been actually in Arizona playing the Diamondbacks on the original schedule, but I've kind of stopped looking at what the original schedule looked like, because if and when we do play, I think they're going to have to draw up a new one. And who knows what it'll look like, but I know MLB's doing everything it can to draw one up and get it going.
What's the weirdest thing about being home so much for you, Len? I mean, it's May 3rd and you're home and you've been home. What's the weirdest thing?
Yeah, I do think just the routine of this time of year for me is so different from what it is right now that being at home, again, on a day like this, on a Sunday, yeah, feels very odd to me. Now, I guess the silver lining is, as much as I enjoy the springs and summers at the ballpark, I don't get a lot of that time at home. And I've always thought I would like to enjoy my time literally at my house and in the yard during the spring and the summer, and I'm getting an opportunity to do more of that. But it definitely comes at a huge cost, and I think there's a little balance in life, and right now the balance has been tipped a little too far in one direction.
Yeah, that's for sure. I saw on your Twitter feed you finished a puzzle. It was a very good-looking puzzle of the solar system. I've done a 300-piece version of that with Ruben, but that looked more adult. Was that 1,000 pieces, Len?
Yeah, that was 1,000, and we've ordered a couple more, and definitely it's good for the brain. You know, I think for 45 to 60 minutes, 2 or 3 days a week, just to kind of dive into something like that. I'm into jigsaw puzzles, crossword puzzles, you know, stuff like that.
I remember I was at Target at one point a couple weeks ago, and they were all out of Clorox wipes and, of course, toilet paper and spray cleaner of any kind, and they were also out of puzzles, completely out of jigsaw puzzles.
That's the thing. When you order one now online, it will take weeks to get one. So, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, what sorts of items and products are rare and hard to find right now. But, yeah, if you're in the jigsaw puzzle business, you're doing pretty well.
Another one that everybody's out of, at least in the city, is yeast. I wanted to do some baking to bake some bread. Everybody's like taking up bread baking. I literally went to 5 grocery stores in the South Loop one day looking for yeast, and they were all out of it. I ordered it online. I had to order yeast online.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm in on the bread making. If you want to send some when you're done.
Yeah,
I'll gladly have some. There's nothing better than a piece of bread right out of the chute.
Come on now. Well, now I have to ask you. I asked Benetti last week, what are you currently eating too much of around the house, Len? Although you're a svelte man, but there's got to be something you're like, man, I got to stop eating that. But
yeah, probably pizza. I think we've ordered it a little too often. And as much as I love it, I probably need to shave that down a little bit.
Yeah, understandable. All right, so one of the highlights that we heard there in the open via Len Casper was you calling the no-hitter for Zambrano, which, of course, was in Milwaukee, although it was against the Astros. The MLB, the Baseball Reference, says there was 23,000 people there in attendance. I don't know if you remember what it felt like. It'd be because it was an odd reschedule. It was a Hurricane Ike reschedule, obviously. But if you can think about the games that you have broadcast with the fewest fans, I know that you have talked about what these games might be like without fans, and you have some hesitancy. So I guess I'm wondering if that's connected to how it has felt for you when the ballpark has been empty at different times in your career.
Well, I guess the comp for me would be the resumption of a game after a long rain delay in Pittsburgh at, you know, 11:45 p.m. on a Tuesday night in May, right? Or Wrigley, really. I mean, if you have a 3.5-hour rain delay early in the season, you're just not going to have a lot of fans in the park when the game resumes. It's totally different. You can hear, in those moments, you can hear every fan and heckler, which is odd. There's just not a buzz in the ballpark. I definitely checked out the oral history of the White Sox-Orioles game. I don't know if you read that. There was a lot of Gary Thorne and Jim Palmer talking about their experience as broadcasters in Baltimore that day that there were no fans. And the players actually commented they could hear the Orioles TV broadcast. So one of the pitchers is warming up and he can hear Gary Thorne talking about him. So that's odd. I do think the players will feel weird and different. They will get used to it because you get used to most things when you have to get into that routine. But I think it'll be jarring for them early on. It'll feel like a practice game. I just hope that if we do it for the whole season, that the fans will stick with it, because I think the novelty will wear off. And for me, those highlights you played, even the Zambrano one, it's the reaction of the crowd in the background. All of the Last Dance highlights and the Jordan shots, they're all backdropped by packed arenas. And it's the energy in those buildings that, to me, cannot be discounted when it comes to a great moment. So I think baseball can be enjoyable. I think all sports can be enjoyable with no fans, but I think you do lose a lot of the quality of the event when there are no fans in the stands.
I agree, and I don't even like to imagine it and think about it. Maybe I'll check out some of the Korean baseball organization stuff on Tuesday. But I also feel, Len, like the world is going to change, and we're not exactly sure how it's going to change. It may be a really long time before we see 40,000 people together anywhere. And so I don't want to give in and lose everything in our culture because we lose those kinds of things. So at some point we'll have to try, I guess.
Yeah, and I think the answer is we will have to try, and once we're able to gather to play those games without fans, we should do it. There's no question about it. I guess I'm more curious than anything to see how it'll feel, and then over the long haul, what it'll look like. And, you know, it's funny, we're playing all these classic games from the past, and in most cases, they're amazing finishes, you know, these great comebacks, all of this stuff. And then, you know, once we do come back, I think live action will be hugely important. The ratings will be through the roof. I just want to know, okay, 10 days into a season, will it feel like a little bit of a letdown when you've got a 12-0 blowout with nobody in the ballpark? And I guess that's on us a little bit, too, because the games will come back for the broadcast part of it, the television and the radio, and how do you enhance that in those two particular media? And, you know, I don't think you necessarily pump in crowd noise or things like that, but maybe there is an opportunity to have a little fun with it and acknowledge that it is unique and a little weird.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate the way that you and JD have always had a very kind of comfortable give and take regarding the reality of a situation. And imagine the opportunities that exist that all of a sudden you're going to be able to hear things like the umpires communicating to each other. I'll get second, you get third, which was mentioned in that oral history of the White Sox Orioles you're talking about. Kevin Gausman said he could hear on a ball in the gap the umpires talking to each other about who was going to cover the base, and he'd never heard that in a game in his life, you know? And you guys as TV people will have an opportunity to expose certain things that we've never even known go on during games.
I think we'll hear a lot of expletives, and I think there will have to be, quite honestly, an understanding among viewers that we're not going to be able to catch all of it. I do think players will have to watch themselves, and they'll have to change a little bit of the way they react to things. I know that sounds kind of ridiculous, but I think it's true. There are a lot of pitchers. You know, Greg Maddux comes to mind. If he were pitching in this environment, you know, I mean, he dropped F-bombs all the time after throwing a pitch. And a lot of times it had nothing to do with the result. It just wouldn't land where he wanted. And you could see it on his face. There's a lot of heckling between dugouts, guys yelling at the opposing pitcher. I wonder how that will be affected. You know, we're not taking mics away from the field when this experiment happens. I can tell you that. If anything, there will be more microphones involved. So we may get a larger dose of what goes on verbally than some people may want. But again, it'll be a fascinating experiment, and maybe sociologically more than anything, right, to hear how major league players talk to each other during games.
Yeah, here's some of that reality, and have them maybe have to be accountable for it in a way that they have taken for granted that they do not through the years. Have you had any of these conversations with your guys at Marquee, Len, or are we just too far away from these possibilities? I wonder if you've had any conversations about what the TV production would be like.
No, we haven't, and I think rightly so. You know, there may be some behind-the-scenes conversations about, okay, how do you socially distance in a production truck? You know, those trucks are not very big. So, you know, you've got typically along the front bench, as they say, you've got three people probably sitting within about 5 feet. So how do you do that with a technical director, a producer, and a director? So I think those are the conversations, Matt, that they're having right now of logistically, literally figuring out how do we get that many people and the people we have to have in place to put these productions online and get them going. And then beyond that, I think once we know what the schedule looks like and what our access will be, we'll have more of those specific conversations about what it'll look like and sound like. The big one, too, is you can put cameras anywhere you want. The seats will be empty, so I would imagine we can find some really crazy angles. I wonder if they'll take down some of the extended netting, at least for these games, so you're not shooting the camera through the net. The netting won't be really protecting anybody, theoretically, right?
Right.
So, yeah, all of those things will come in due time.
Yeah, and it could end up being fascinating for those of us who love to pick apart every little thing like that and see how people react. I wonder, before we move on from this, we're with Len Casper here on The Score. You guys did such a good job in spring training with players mic'd up during the games, and your buddy Boog Sciambi had that memorable game with the Cubs mic'd up with Rizzo and Bryant. I wonder if, I know it's been talked about, but if there will there be pressure, you think, on the Players Association to go for that kind of thing, to make the broadcast more interesting and interactive? You think there'll be pressure put on to make that possible?
I do, but I also wonder if, because of all the things we just discussed, if it'll even be necessary. In other words, if you're at a dinner party and essentially you can eavesdrop on every conversation just by being there, do you need to formally make it happen, right? You know, I was thinking about a home run ball hitting the bleachers. Have you ever heard it? I haven't.
In spring training, batting practice, and it's fun. It rattles around.
But not during a game, you know.
No
I mean,
way.
Those kinds of things are going to be like, whoa, you know. And I don't know if we're going to necessarily need to formalize miking umpires or players, just because we have microphones on the field right now that pick up a lot of those things. If anything, it may be a little too much. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. How about coaches up on the top step moving outfielders around? You're going to hear that. That's going to come through just the regular field mics. They don't need to be mic'd up for that.
Yep.
So could be fascinating. All right. You and I were talking a little bit during the week. I know you and JD are about to launch, or just did launch, your first official Cubs podcast. Tell me about that, and tell me about your conversation with the first guest on it.
Yeah, we don't have the official release or launch yet, but I would anticipate it will be later this week, probably more like Thursday. And if you follow me on Twitter, it's at Len Casper. I will tweet out all of the details. But yes, it is a officially stamped podcast that will feature a lot of Cubs players, obviously front office people, coaches, managers, former Cubs. We've got a lot of celebrities who've done the stretch who love Cubs baseball, and we'll branch out a little bit that way. But it'll be JD and I just having a fun, you know, 45-minute conversation with those people. And my first choice was John Lester, and thankfully John agreed to do it. And I think you will find out some information that you didn't know about John, not only as a high school athlete, but the free agent process he went through when he was traded to the A's, and then that winter decided to pick the Chicago Cubs. It's really deep stuff. And the reason I love John, and I think you would know this, you've talked to him quite a bit. He doesn't give off the vibe as someone who would like to have a long conversation, especially at the ballpark. He's got game face on most of the time. But that's not John fundamentally and who he is as a person off the field. And he's incredibly thoughtful. He'll give you his opinion on just about anything you ask him about. And he doesn't do it often, and I thought he'd be a great first guest.
Yeah, I bet he was. And I don't know if you guys touched on it. It's certainly been talked about a lot. But the psychological stuff with him eventually just kind of owning the issues that he has with throwing to first, I think it has been super instructive on just like a human development level over the last 5 years to watch and be a part of in this town.
Yep, no, he's been real open about that. We didn't get into that specifically. There were a lot of topics we didn't, but that's good. Mm-hmm. That means the stuff we did dive deeply into. We stayed there for a while, and that's a podcast, right? You know, I think that the difference between a radio show like this and a podcast when you do 20 minutes is, you know, you got to do some of the greatest hits when you're on the radio, and you know, some of the deep dives don't really, I guess, relate to everybody. But on a podcast, you can get a little more specific, and that's what I like about that genre. So we're going to do a little bit more of that, and I look forward to it.
Outstanding. All right, Len. Thanks, man. What are you listening to these days, musically? Anything getting you going?
You know, I'm kind of always bouncing around. Our buddy Doug Julin just sent me a playlist of NRBQ, so I'm diving into the NRBQ back catalog. So that's a band I've always respected, and a lot of people I love them. And so I want to get a little better taste of that. And as you know, there's a Chicago connection there with some guys who play in that current iteration. So, NRBQ is the top of the playlist right now.
A lot of people, like when they were in their heyday, one of the best rock and roll bands ever, Big Al Anderson, a killer on guitar. But you're right, the local guys, Scott Ligon, Casey McDonough, I think both of them are in NRBQ.
Correct.
These days.
Yep.
So, pretty cool. All right, Len, nice to talk to you, man. And really enjoying your background when you and I are together on Cubs 360. You've got a very well-executed set dressing going on behind you. Is that all you, or did your wife help with that?
That's 100% Pam Casper. I take no credit for it. She did all of it, and I think we finally got to a good place there, yes.
Yeah, I think so. It's impressive. There's a bowl of baseballs, a bowl of colored baseballs of some kind over her shoulder. Well, tell Pam that we've noticed, at least in this house. It's a fun.
All right, I'll see you on Zoom next week.
Sounds good. All right, man. Thank you.
See ya.
That's Len Casper right there on 670 The Score. Yeah, I'm a part of that show on Marquee, Cubs 360 Daily, which airs every day at 6 o'clock. I do it once a week, sometimes two times a week. I think I'm on this Tuesday along usually with Len, sometimes Bruce Levine, always Cole Wright, sometimes JD, sometimes others. It's good fun. And really, set dressing at home is a wonderful opportunity. When you're at home, what do? When you're a baseball player and you're at home, we have seen what some of them do, right? I'm going to tell you about, and I will tweet out the link to, the coolest home setup for a ball player that I've seen this entire quarantine season. It is ridiculous. And maybe you've got one that's better. Who's got the coolest home setup for any ball player that you have seen them share? And it's not Joe Kelly as he tries to pitch into a giant net and goes wide right on the changeup and breaks the window. No, but I'll tell you mine when we come back. And later on in the hour, Danny Parkins, my old pal, is going to join. We'll talk a little Mitch Trubisky and some Mitch album follow-ups that, you know, we might have to do. Oh boy, that was fun. Might have to wrap the Mitch era at some point this upcoming year. It's 670 The Score. Casey Johnson at the top of the hour on Jerry Krause, the baseball man, and Chris Kamka with Cam Connections at about 11:40. All of that right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What's up, Longhorn Nation? The Rocket Roger Clemens here with two other Longhorns you might recognize. Hey, hope everybody's being safe during the quarantine, all the stuff we're trying to do at home and stay busy. Fortunately, we got Rockets World here. Come see what we've been doing over the last week and a half, 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. The theme song from Roger Clemens Baseball. Oh, God. My 32-bit Nintendo past is never too far away. And that's Roger Clemens on Twitter the other day addressing Texas Longhorns Nation before showing you what I think is the coolest home setup for a ball player that I've seen in this entire quarantine. Now, he's a former ball player. He's not even in the bigs right now, you know? But my goodness, he's got two kids who are not going to make the bigs. But my goodness, that setup. I'm looking at, I'll tell you about it in a minute, but I'm looking here on MLB.com at some of these other home setups. There's Corey Kluber pitching in his backyard. And we talked to Steve Cishek a few weeks ago in Inside the Clubhouse, and he was trying to get a pitchback machine that would receive the ball and then come back to him. So he was trying to get that, but instead he was pitching to a beautiful young lady named Annette. That was his catcher. Annette, you get it? Yeah. Anyway. She's a relative of Annette Front Presence, a hockey female that I've always been a fan of. But yeah, Steve Cishek pitching to Annette. We've got Cole Calhoun with a hardcore BP setup in his backyard. I see Bryce Harper lifting weights in some kind of unbelievably decked out garage. So good for him. David Hess is a young pitcher for Baltimore. He's got a Rapsodo machine. Big shout out to Rapsodo. So, like, people have their own things. But my God, Clemens set up. He calls it Rocket World. And in that clip, you hear him say, hey, let's go check out Rocket World. Rocket World is freaking ridiculous. It is a full baseball training complex attached to his mansion. And he's pitching to his two kids, both of whom have names that begin with K. I believe it's Kobe and Casey. And they have hit tracks there. The kids are like so excitedly talking about hit tracks. They have hit tracks there to measure the exit velocity and launch angle as they take batting practice off of one of the greatest pitchers who ever lived. And they're taking BP in this fully decked out. I believe there's two spaces for pitchers and BP. And then there's a giant weight room that's attached to it. And then on the wall are these massive, massive paintings of Clemens' uniforms, number 21 that he wore in Boston, number 22 I think he wore in Houston, right? And it's an outrageous complex. And then what goes on, so as they take BP, HitTrax is measuring their exit velocity and their launch angle, and they can simulate onto a video whatever ballpark they want. So they're talking, okay, well, why don't we choose Fenway? All right, let's choose Fenway. Then all of a sudden they're taking BP and they're watching and you're watching like a golf simulator, but it's a batting practice simulator where the balls that they're hitting are going at Fenway Park. Ooh, that one is just out. Ooh, that one is right down the right field line wrapped around Pesky's pole. Or that one's to center field in the triangle, seeing if they can hit bombs off Clemens. There's play-by-play options as they add play-by-play broadcasting to the video simulation of their batting practice. This is living inside a video game, hitting off one of the greatest pitchers who ever lived. Just outrageous.
And Speaks, there's more details as well. The house is almost a sports complex. So he's got a 15,000 square foot place, and the sports complex is 7,000 square feet. It's got a quarter mile track, half a baseball infield, a basketball rim, an indoor batting cage, and a weight room. And it's less than 4 miles from where Clemens went to high school.
Oh, God. God. That's the thing, man. Like, I don't know if it's healthy to see how all these dudes are quarantining, the ones with big, enormous piles of money. It's like, oh, you know, we're doing okay. Been swimming a lot in the pool. You know, really just taking BP here in my 7,000-foot complex, 7,000-foot-square-foot complex. You know, things have been okay. We've been hanging around mostly at the Florida house, sometimes at the Arizona place. Screw you guys. I'm in an 1,100-square-foot condo in Chicago, although it's comfortable, and I realize that what I have is more comfortable than what a lot of other people have. So it's all relative. Hey, but good for you, Roger. Good for you.
And also Guafi, obviously, with this. But yes. Rocket Man experiences packages on the Roger ClemensFoundation.org. There is a batting practice off the rocket. You get 1 hour. You and up to 11 guests take batting practice off the rocket in his personal private batting cage in Houston, Texas. But the minimum bid is $50,000.
Oh my God. So for 50 grand, you and 11 friends can go and take BP off Clemens in this complex. And where does that money go, by the way? Does that go to the Roger Clemens Future Defense Fund Foundation? Does it go to the, you know, what was the name of the lawyer? Rusty. Damn it. His lawyer was so sleazy, man. Clemens' lawyer, when he was doing the whole thing with the Senate and Rusty Hardin. That was his guy. Rusty Hardin. Oh, man, I felt dirty and sleazy just after listening to Rusty Hardin talk. But, boy, 50 grand and you and 11 buddies can take batting practice off Clemens and live inside the video game that his kids are living in. Unreal. Texter says, Clemens' house also has a walk-in medicine cabinet. It's got needles with B12 injections that you can just back up to. Just drop your pants and you back up to a wall, and the needles are sticking right out of the, out of the wall. I know, Sean, you did a good job getting Clemens on the show to talk about our game, and after this segment, he's never coming back. That's okay.
We got him for 30 minutes. It's all right.
Yeah, yeah, we did enough. We did enough. What else in there? If you see, a lot of people are showing these things. The New York Times did a piece on, like, what can we learn about the bookshelves of people as they do all these Zoom calls? And there's like, all right, what's Amy Poehler reading? What's Paul Rudd reading these days? If they did one with Clemens, it's like, how to lie before Congress. How to mask a steroid. Like, these books would just be on the shelf behind, you know? Oh, God. I'll tell you what's going to be weird. Next year, I believe next year is the final year for Hall of Fame eligibility for Clemens and Bonds. Right? Can you double-check that, Sean? I think that's next year. And the new class next year, and we should do a segment on this on a future Hit and Run, but the new class next year is not very attractive. Like, not many folks that are going to get in on the first go. So you might have a situation. If Clemens or Bonds are the ones that get enough votes finally in their final year of eligibility, you might have a situation where you've got Clemens and or Bonds along with Derek Jeter for a Hall of Fame weekend.
Yeah, they got two more chances, 2021 and 2022.
Okay, so two more chances. But, I mean, they're going to have a shot. They're absolutely going to have a shot in these next 2 years. And, boy, that'd be really interesting to have, like, Jeter, who is considered by so many as, like, the paragon of professionalism and cleanliness and yada yada, along with Clemens. That'd be quite an interesting match there. It's 670, the score. If you've seen a cooler home setup for a ball player, you can share it. But I think Rocket World is probably going to win over just about everybody. A Spiegel and Parkins reunion in moments when we come back on 670, the score. Need to run something by him. We'll also talk a little bit of Mitch Trubisky. That's coming up next on Hit and Run, or Run and Shoot, or Bump and Run, or Hook and Ladder, right here on the score. And at the top of the hour, a little bit of Pick and Roll with Casey Johnson of NBC Sports Chicago, but we'll talk to him about Jerry Krause, the baseball guy, quite a bit. That's all coming up right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
He's really taken ownership of this locker room. It's not something that's forced. It's organic, and the guys believe in him, and we're lucky to have him.
Back to throw, Trubisky on a deep drop, going deep down the left side.
Drops it in the bucket to Bellamy, he's in! Touchdown, Bears!
Mitch is a very smart kid. He's intelligent, very driven, motivated. A lot of the things that we talk about as a team, he has. For him to be our quarterback and to have those traits, it's hard to not smile.
Now is the time when we think of Bears football, and the fans must come together as one.
Look, let's just let this play. It's too good.
People trying.
Go ahead, Jay Zawaski.
To execute a plan for Mitch, the greatest gift of all.
And that'll do it. That's Mitch Rosen singing about Mitch Trubisky, and singing I use very loosely right there. Although, I mean, is that the best track on the Mitch album with eventual liner notes by Mitch album? What do you think, Danny Parkins? Is that the one?
Let Him Throw is just so catchy, Spiegs.
They all
have a special place in my heart. I got to show off my my rap flow in Christmas at Hallis. You know, there's just each thing was a moment in time. But I think the song that probably offends most people's sensibilities is how much we ruined the song September for people with Mitch Tember. So
yes,
I don't know. It's really whichever one is playing at the moment, not off the Mitch album, but the real song. And then people think about how much we desecrated a classic.
How dare you? How dare you people do what you do? Also, all of them have aged really poorly. Just extreme.
When we said Let Him Throw, we meant out the garbage. We wanted him to be the trash guy for the facility is what we meant by Let Him Throw.
Yeah, it's a sign of how long it's been since we worked together on a regular basis, and also just how non-prolific I have been as a songwriter and producer, that we really hearken back to wanting more activity and game time for Mitch Trubisky. That is not where things stand right now. He's Danny Parkins joining us here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. A little bit of bump and run this morning. I want to talk to you about Mitch and one other thing. But all right, we're going to go back-to-back props here, okay?
Okay, yeah.
First props I'm going to give to you. When Ryan Pace pushed the ball down the road about Mitch Trubisky's fifth-year option on the very first day that he had an opportunity to discuss it, you immediately called it out and said, hey, look, that's different than what he said about Leonard Floyd and words or actions over words and all that kind of thing. This, you saw this coming, that this choice that they have now officially made to not pick up the fifth-year option. You saw this coming.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I'm a little surprised everyone didn't see it coming. Like, I didn't think this was that tough of a call, honestly. And I was a bit surprised at how many members of the Bears media were like, well, Ryan Pace said it. It's like, and? He was the only quarterback under contract, and so why not say it? And yeah, it's true that they ended up rescinding the fifth year on Leonard Floyd. And it's true that it's only guaranteed for injury. But like, we watched it all happen last year. Like, we watched Mitch Trubisky require a really trimmed down, basic 101, 102 level scheme and playbook. And I admit that maybe some of the benefit of this was watching the transformation year over year over year with Alex Smith in the same system. And you could just tell that, like, oh my God, like the first year there was nothing, like no touchdown passes to wide receivers. By the end, he led the NFL in deep ball passer rating. Like, it just was such an unbelievable transformation, and Mitch wasn't taking the same steps. And Matt Nagy inherited Mitch, so like, he wasn't going to go down with the ship. And everything that happened this offseason, I thought, pointed to familiarity and empowerment of Matt Nagy. Like, Matt Nagy worked with Nick Foles in Kansas City. Nick Foles worked with John DeFilippo in Philadelphia. Juan Castillo replaced Harry Hiestand, who worked with Matt Nagy in Philadelphia. Demetrius Harris worked with Matt Nagy in Kansas City. He went out of his way with every move on the offensive side of the ball to bring in familiarity. So when they traded a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles and brought on a contract that could last 3 years, and people were still like, no, I think Mitch is going to be the starter, I just didn't understand it. Like, I don't think one thing they've done since the end of the season has pointed to Mitch being the starter for this team.
Yeah, no, and the way that that Matt has talked about him at the combine and other places. I really need him to master coverages. I really need him to master the playbook. Well, you know, that's not something you say after a guy's had his second full year in your system. That's not the way it's supposed to go. One other thing on this. What do you think is the best case scenario for the Bears and Ryan Pace at this point? Because I remember having this conversation with you and thinking that the best case scenario was still for Mitch to develop into the franchise quarterback. Now that there is 1 year left and not two, and they would have to either franchise tag him or give him a new big deal after a good year, you know, and you've got Foles with some incentives that would kick in if he's decent, some more that would kick in if he's very good and they go far, and you've got the fact that they don't have a young developmental quarterback on the roster. Like, what is the best case scenario for the franchise in terms of, you know, longevity and having a guy?
I think it's if you're literally putting anything on the table, I think it's still Mitch Trubisky being great. Like, it clicking and it taking a year or two too long for that to happen. And, you know, Kyle Fuller, they didn't use the fifth-year option on him. He balls out in his fourth year after 3 years of inconsistency. He's a restricted free agent. Packers make him an offer sheet. Bears match. And he's been great ever since. And they've been happy to pay Kyle Fuller his money. So I still think a second overall pick for a franchise, young quarterback with tremendous athletic ability and mobility, if he hits, that is best case scenario. Because let's remember, I mean, Nick Foles, he got benched for Gardner Minshew last year. He's been a perennial backup. He's been a picture of inconsistency longer than Mitch Trubisky has. Like, Nick Foles is not going to be the quarterback of the Bears 5 years from now. And to be clear, neither is Mitch Trubisky, but there's
more of a chance of that.
Right, but there's a, what, 2% chance that, like if Mitch Trubisky hit this offseason, like, it clicked, the competition, the shoulder injury, everything, like, he needed to be pushed and all of that, and then it clicked, well, then, sure, like, maybe Mitch Trubisky still has a high ceiling, and so that's best case scenario, but it's such a pie in the sky long shot that the Bears are planning for what can we do now to maximize the window of Khalil Mack in his prime on this defense, which is why I think Nick Foles is going to be the guy, and he's like a bridge quarterback for a year or two until they're in position to draft the next young franchise quarterback for the Bears.
All right, so there were some props for you. Now props
Thank
for
you.
Me.
Okay.
Which I think everybody's been waiting for, these props for me. So I came on with you and Mac, a couple Tuesdays ago, and made the corollary of the Last Dance Bulls of 98 to these Cubs, these 2020 Cubs, at least just in the way that the team felt about it. And since, and you and Mac were, I don't know, Speaks, I don't know. Well, since then, there's been podcasts by competitors who are clearly big fans of the show. And then Jason Hayward this week with Lawrence Holmes went right there. He said that they've talked about them having this Last Dance kind of vibe together. I know it's a stretch, but for players, they'll latch on to anything they can to feel that chip on the shoulder.
Yeah, you're right, and they have, and that's good. And the only qualifier that I put into it was how baseball works with, like, the mid-season transactional game.
Yeah.
The writing was on the wall for this already. Like, we were talking about it at Scorehouse, RIP Scorehouse, with you, me, and Mac about how, like, the feeling of inevitability of it already being over and the likelihood of Schwarber or Bryant or Quintana or someone or someone's being traded at the deadline this year, regardless of how the season started. And so I think the players saying, hey, we've been given a stay of execution and a last chance to, you know, end that 2016 era of Cubs baseball on the right note, like, good. I'm glad they're using that as motivation if and when we get a season. But I just think the difference is, like, the conflict that existed within the Bulls is not really conflict within the Cubs. It's more just, hey, this is what your contract states, and your front office is not going to just lose you for a compensatory draft pick. So I feel like it's just different because of the sports.
Yeah, well, and there's less out-and-out hatred.
That's definitely
in there. All right, so last thing. I wanted to play this and then talk to you about it for a second. I loved Phil Jackson talking about his connection with Dennis Rodman and how they bonded over Native American culture. This is a snippet from The Last Dance last week.
Dennis and I have this Native American bond between us. He comes in one day. Dennis and I have this Native American bond between us. He comes in one day, and Dennis and I met in the team room. In the team room, I have a bear claw necklace, turtle shell that came from another Indian reservation, and various other Indian artifacts. And so Dennis is like, wow, he said, I have this necklace from the Ponca Indians in Oklahoma. I'm hip to that. And I say, well, Dennis, in their tradition, in the tradition that I knew, you would be a heyoka, a backward walking person. There were people that were different, and you're a heyoka. So you're this heyoka in this tribe.
So I love that. The heyoka, the backwards walking person, right?
Yeah.
And I'd like to ask you, who is the scores heyoka, Danny? Who is the backwards walking person at our radio station?
Well,
I think it's pretty obvious myself.
I think it's, well, let's just put it this way. The comparisons between Dennis Rodman and Dan McNeil were not exactly lost on us when it was like, hey, I need some time off. Yeah, you have vacation time in your contract. No, I need some time off right damn now. Oh, yeah, social distancing or, load management. Like, we got to load manage Mac a little bit. So, yeah, that correlation was not exactly lost on Tanny, Shep, or I, if it might have been lost slightly on Mac. Is that what you were looking for? Is that what you were going for?
I mean, come on. It's staring us all right in the face. It's been staring me in the face. And let the record show.
Really talented guy. Makes you better. Championships. Pelts on the wall. You want him on your team. But you got to coach him. You got to coach him a little differently. And sometimes when Rodman was Rodman or Mac was Mac, the burden fell to the other people on the team to pick up the slack when he was coming back from Vegas or Cottage.
That's just how it works every once in a while. And sometimes, like Michael Jordan said about Dennis, you just got to relax and say, hey, his body's here. What else do you want? You know?
Yeah, I mean, we discussed that on the show the day after the.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
Yeah, we did. So I'm not speaking out of school here.
Okay.
It was it was just too obvious. Like Mac was like, is Dennis Rodman a good teammate? Let's have this conversation. It's just complicated, right? Like we're all complicated beings, but that dude is really, really, really talented.
When you show up, man, you gotta, you know, Dennis
the
was a brilliant rebounder. That might have been my favorite moment of the thing so far, is Dennis talking about how he studied rebounding. Because that's like, that's very special, unique stuff that that he is qualified to speak about, and it was beautiful.
He was a basketball savant. Like people respected him, even to the point where they put up with the crazy. It was great, and the doc is only getting better. Like I've enjoyed every episode more than the previous. I cannot wait for tonight.
I'm trying to remember if at any time, like when Mac and I were on a work trip together, if I ever knocked on his door and Carmen Electra answered the door naked. I can't remember for sure. You'd think I'd remember something like
that. You would think, but it probably would have been a 70s porn star, not a 90s Playboy girl.
Oh, my God, Seika is here. What is she doing?
Wow. This is surprising.
All right, well, tell the Hayoka I said hello, okay?
I will do so. Hey, if anyone has a pull cart in Chicago, Evanston, or Wilmette as I head north in an hour here for golf and wants to let me borrow it, please, because walking and carrying a golf bag is very scary. You can DM me on Twitter. This is the most physically intimidated I've been for a round of golf in my entire life. So
wow. Yeah. You just used my bully hit and run pulpit to plea for a pull cart. That's
correct.
Tremendous.
That's correct.
Well done. Help. I'm not even mad. I'm impressed.
I'll
see you, man. Talk to you. That's Danny Parkins right here on 670 The Score. All right, we'll talk a little bit of Last Dance and talk about Jerry Krause, baseball man, as well with our buddy Casey Johnson next. That's on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.